As we continue the Wednesday night theme that we began a couple of weeks ago, looking at the Lord's Prayer and using it to guide our praying, Jesus, in teaching his disciples the model prayer, said, "Pray then in this way," Matthew 6, verse 9, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We looked at 2 weeks ago, hallowed be your name. Last week, your kingdom come. Tonight, we'll take a few minutes to consider your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I suppose there's probably not many people in here, no one of any age at all, actually, who has never considered the question, what is God's will? If you haven't considered it that broadly, I'll bet you have at least considered it more narrowly, more selfishly. What is the will of God for my life? Jesus says that we ought to be praying regarding God's will being done. Now, that does affect us. If you notice on the little prayer sheet, we're going to pray tonight for God's will to be done in us, as individuals, as families, as a local church, that his will be done in and among and through us, within the community, on the campuses, in the places that we work, and then the opportunities that we have globally as well. There's a connection here with this third petition, your will be done, the connection of hallowing God's name and his kingship coming. His name is holy in heaven. He is king in heaven. His will is done in heaven. This third petition is a logical sequence of the first two. When God's name is hallowed, as it ought to be, his kingship will come in a way that he desires. And as a result, his will be done. Which begs the question that I began with, what is God's will? He has one will. Two aspects, one will. The two aspects are this. There is a concealed will of God, hidden. And there is a revealed will of God, exposed. The concealed will of God is his sovereign decree, and the revealed will of God is his displayed desire. And this revealed will of God is displayed or revealed for us in his word and through his works. More succinctly, we'll say it this way: the Bible is the revelation of the will of God. Regarding these two aspects, in order to try to clarify these two aspects of one will, just think about a mountain range. It's not difficult to do around here. They're everywhere that we look. No matter where you are, as long as you aren't in the air or on a higher peak somewhere, you only see one side clearly. One side of the mountain is perfectly visible. The other side is completely hidden from our view. This illustrates the will of God. It is one will. There is a connection. It's made up together, but only one side is evident to us. The other side is hidden, and it's for our good. But God, unlike us, sees them both completely, simultaneously, perfectly. In the Lord's Prayer, in the model prayer where Jesus is teaching us here, Matthew chapter 6, second half of verse 10, the third petition in the Lord's Prayer, God's will that's being referred to is his revealed will, not the sovereign, secret, decreed will, but the revealed will. God's sovereignly decreed, secret will is carried out perfectly all the time. In fact, he even uses twisted circumstances and situations, and he redeems through them. The famous words of Joseph, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God." The backside of the mountain, God was working. He meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Despite our deceitful characters, despite our perverse personalities, despite our strong-willed waywardness, the will of God continues to work for our redemption and restoration to his family. Consider the passage from Sunday, Ephesians 1:5. According to the kind intention of his will, in love, he adopted us. This is God's guaranteed, sovereignly decreed will. Now, if God's will in the Lord's Prayer, in this third petition, is his secret will, then "your will be done" becomes a statement, not a request. Similar to the way we said in the first week, "hallowed be your name." We're not saying, "God, your name is hallowed." We're saying, "God, you must hallow your name among us." That's the request. In the same way here, we're not saying, "God, your secret divine will is always being accomplished because you are providentially sovereign and powerful and in control and capable of accomplishing that." But it's not a mere statement of saying that. We are not praying for God's plans to come to pass. That always happens. We're not praying for the angels to do their responsibilities well. That always happens. Heaven is perfect holiness. We're not praying that God's will would be done in heaven. That always happens. Perfect obedience exists there. Perfect worship exists there. Can you imagine somehow that Jesus is suggesting here that God's perfect will is not being accomplished? That's not at all what he's saying. He's teaching us to pray, "Your will be done. Your revealed will for your people. May it be done." That's the request. We can rephrase it all and say it this way: may we do your will, O God. That's the request. We long to do your will. On earth as it is in heaven, God's will is what is accomplished in heaven. And based on the prayer that Jesus is teaching us to pray, God's will is not always accomplished on earth. I mentioned that it's not a prayer for angels to do their part. They are always willing to do his bidding. They always accomplish his will faithfully. If you noticed when I read from the 103rd Psalm, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, his angels, you who serve him, doing his will." Angels always do what he says. Whatever the command, their response is, "Your will be done, O God." Jesus is teaching us here to pray that life on earth would resemble more closely life in heaven. And in order for us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we must be willing to do at least two things. One, to know God's will, to know God's word, which is where his will is revealed. And two, to obey God's word, to obey God's will. We must be willing to both know and do his will. Think about this passage from Psalm 103. Could your name be filled in there? "Bless the Lord, you his child, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word." Is that you? "Bless the Lord, child, you who serve him, doing his will." The angels serve as wonderful examples for us in doing the will of God. But they aren't the best example that we have. We have an even better example. We have a pattern from God himself, robed in flesh, living on earth among us, Christ. Our pattern for doing the will of God is Jesus himself. It was Jesus' pattern from the very beginning, early in his life. "I must be about my Father's business," when he's caught there in the temple, after his parents had left him as a child of 12. In the midst of his life, John 8:29, I always please my Father. Everything that he was doing, he sought to please his Father. And at the end of his life, in the famous and familiar high priestly prayer, I glorified him on earth. He was committed. Life to Jesus was to do the will of him who sent him to accomplish his work. The primary goal, out of his own mouth, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. The ultimate destination in a journey is seen in every little step along the way, and we see it in the life of Christ. He was committed to do his Father's good pleasure. The will of the Father was the rule of Christ's life. Again, John chapter 5, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. You see the pattern idea. Whatever the Father does, the Son does in like manner. He goes on to say, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus functioned in entirety, not by permission to act, but by obedience. He didn't live initiating, but responding. He had a relationship with his Father, and he responded in love to his Father that resulted in obedience all the way to the last hours of his life when he said, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus submitted, yielded to the will of God all the way to death, giving us more than mere words to repeat. Yes, Lord, I want to do your will, but a life to be followed. A life worth following. He is the pattern for us following the will of God for our lives. Our Father, who is in heaven, he taught us to pray, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a wonderful pattern for our lives because we're often too consumed with our own names rather than being concerned about hallowing his name. We're too concerned setting up our little kingdoms here on earth rather than longing to see Christ's kingdom and kingship come in our lives. We are busy seeking to accomplish our own desired wills rather than being committed to seeing his will done on earth as it is in heaven. The reality of our profession is tested by the integrity with which we can pray for his name, for his kingdom, and for his will. C.S. Lewis noted that there are two kinds of people in the end. Those who have said to God, your will be done. And those to whom God says, your will be done. Because you see, your will is sin and death and hell. And that's what you get if you do not strive to do God's will. That will that is good and acceptable and perfect. That will that is revealed perfectly, clearly, and completely on the pages of his word. We prove ourselves children of the Heavenly Father, members of the kingdom, subjects of the King, by obedience to his will, to his commands. The apostle writing to the church at Rome said it this way, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Three specific things as we near a close of looking at this little section of scripture. In order for us to long for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we must be willing to reject our own will. We cannot pray for God's will to be done without denying ourselves. We must be willing not only to reject our own will, we must be willing to trust God's will, accepting in meekness and humility whatever he sends our way or whatever he fails to send our way. And we must also be willing to not only reject our own will, trust his will, but we must be willing to do his will or to carry out the will of God. Obedience to him and his word. So a better question than the one we began with, what is God's will, is this one. Am I doing God's will? Because whoever does the will of the Father who is in heaven, I'm quoting Jesus here, Jesus said, he is my brother and sister. So as we have the opportunity to go to the Lord tonight, that's our prayer, that his will would be done in us, among us, that his name would be hallowed, that his kingship would come and be a reality in our own hearts and in our gatherings together. Our desire is that his name would be holy among us, that his kingship would be evident in us, and that his will would be done by us.